Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 27, entitled Attack by Chandavega on the City of Puranjan, Text 22. Mayi samrabhya vipula madachchapam sudusaham statum arhaise nakatra madhyachna vimukho mune. Translation: the great sage continued, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. Purport: the great sage Narada Muni has a spiritual body. Therefore, old age, disease, birth, and death do not affect him. Narada is the most kind devotee of the Supreme Lord, and his only business is to travel all over the universe and preach God consciousness. In other words, his business is to make everyone a Vaishnava. Under the circumstances, there is ordinarily no need for him to stay in one place for more than the time he requires to preach, since by his own free will, he is already traveling all over the universe. The curse of Kaliyanga is described as fortunate. Like Narada Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in different places and in different universes. Such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of material laws. Om Agyanati Madanasya Ginanana Salakya Shakshuriminitam Yana Tasmai Si Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manabhastam Stapitam Yena Bhutalai Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sitapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamstya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamstya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagampate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kansana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavane Swari Visabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyacha Sakripa Sandubhyayivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So great personalities like Narada Muni are simply offering benedictions wherever they go. They can truly do good in every situation. In the Bhagavatam, Vyasadev is referring to Narada Muni as your goodness. He is goodness personified. His entire being is bringing only well-being to others. Because Narada Muni is worshipping the Supreme Lord, and because he is fully realized in that worship, he has become deeply absorbed in transcendental love. And because of his absorption in loving devotional service, he has become like Sparsamani, a transcendental touchstone who can transform whomever he is in contact with. Such personalities are rare, and but there are throughout the times there are preachers of the Lord found all over the world who are carrying on the message of the Lord. Among such preachers, Narada stands out because of his extraordinary surrender. In the Bhagavatam, in First Canto, Chapter 6, we get a biography of Narada Muni as he explains his life to Vyasadeva. At that time, Narada Muni is describing how, as a young boy, by the blessings of great devotees who stayed with his mother during the rainy season, that at that time he served them and he got the benedictions of these sages. And through that he became very exalted and sat under a banyan tree, meditated in the forest, and in due course of time had a darshan of the Supreme Lord. However, the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord said, because your service is not yet complete, you will not see me again this lifetime. So it's interesting that Narada, although he was so successful in his practices, that he got the darshan of the Lord, although he was so exalted, his service was not as yet complete. Then it is described that throughout the rest of his life, Narada traveled all over the earth to glorify the Supreme Lord. And at the end, in due course of time, he gave up his body and he attained his spiritual body at that time. As he gave up his material body, he attained a spiritual body. At the end, but he remained within the universe, within that. And at the end of the day of Brahma, when all the various elements of the universe are entering into the body of Mahavishnu, it is said Narada also entered, only to re-emerge in the next kalpa, when Brahma started to manifest various sages from his mind, and Narada also became one of the sons of Brahma. In that particular birth, we see that Narada was not completely, apparently not completely conversant with the Absolute Truth, because at one stage he is worshipping Lord Brahma as Bhagavan. In Bhagavatam we find a description how he's addressing Lord Brahma as the Supreme Lord. And Lord Brahma is smilingly explaining, no, I'm not Bhagavan, I'm not the Supreme. Rather, I'm depending on another one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu, or Sri Krishna. So it's interesting. Later in the Bhagavatam, also there is, we see that Narada is also further instructed by the four Kumaras. And the four Kumaras are described as Shakti Avesh avatars, or living beings who are especially empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're also instructing Narada. And Narada is pointing out that he knows many mantras from the Vedic literature. Narada says, so mantra vedavit. I know so many mantras of the Vedas, but evasmin na, what was it? Na atma. Yeah. So he explained that I don't know actually. I may know many mantras, so many Vedic mantras, but I don't know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Basically, Atma here referring to the Supreme Lord. So, apparently, Narada, even in his birth as the sage, who is the mental son of Lord Brahma, or emanating from the mind of Lord Brahma, then Narada is acting out a part of being covered. And through the association of various sages, he becomes reinstated in his pure and transcendental position as a devotee of the Lord. Of course, we understand that this is simply an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And we see that this is Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. This is the energy that is employed to cover the devotee for the pastimes, for the sake of pastimes, not the type of illusory energy that is reserved for conditioned souls to create a distance between them and the Supreme Lord. Yogamaya, rather, is enhancing the relationship with the Supreme Lord, and Mahamaya is creating further distance in the relationship with the Supreme Lord. Well, Narada then again manifests his full glory. And subsequently, Narada appears everywhere. All throughout the Vedic literature, Narada appears instructing this personality, instructing that personality. And interesting enough, Narada is one who is also, who likes intrigue. Because we see, for example, Ravana has a great dislike for devotees of Vishnu, and he is certainly traveling all over the world at one stage. That's before the whole kidnapping. So it's just after he has stolen the amazing aeroplane from Kuvira, his brother. This aeroplane travels at will. Then the sage Narada appears, and Ravana is very pleased to see Narada, because Narada from time to time appears and gives good advice. So Narada does this. He gives good advice to the demons, which is... And he told Ravana, he said, you are traveling all over the entire world and looking for a suitable match to fight, and no one can stand up to you, not even the devas. He said, but there is one personality who might be a worthy opponent. Why are you wasting your time just fighting with human beings? Why don't you take on Yamaraj? So here Narada is playing his politics. So it is quite interesting to see that in a saintly personality like Narada, there is so much politics again and again, and it makes him kind of interesting. And Narada then is carrying on in his preaching mission. We're seeing that he's not always appreciated, just as here Kalayanka is not appreciating him when he didn't heed to her request for marriage, then she cursed him. Severely, it said. Of course, the curse again turned out to be a blessing, and because the Supreme Lord is always protecting his devotee, and therefore there is no concern of such a curse. In this case, it is clear that Kalayanka, although she thought that she was acting independently, was simply acting as an instrument of the Lord in her curse, and the curse was just perfectly fitting to Narada's purpose of traveling all over the universe to deliver conditioned souls. So there was no problem in accepting this curse. We find a similar curse in the case of Daksha, who was also very displeased with Narada for preaching to his sons, who were on Daksha's order performing austerities, preparing to get married and produce progeny, because after all, Daksha is a Prajapati and desired that his sons would also take up that mission of populating the entire universe. So Daksha said, you are supposed to be a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you are a blemish upon the reputation of the Lord. You are a blemish on the reputation of the Lord. Your actions are totally contrary to his purpose, and simply you're bringing infamy to him. So and Daksha also cursed him subsequently, and a similar curse that he couldn't stay in one place. So it's interesting, because this brings out the apparent tension point that exists between the renunciants and the householders. And since yesterday, by an arrangement of Krishna and not by my choice, I got a verse on Brahmacharya. And I know that when I spoke from my own personal perspective. So my own perspective, whatever it might be, in the way I evolved from the Grihastha ashram in due course of time to Vanaprastha and Sannyas, and I shared some of my personal, intimate experiences and realizations, sometimes they may be mistaken. It may be thought that these are blanket statements when I said that I thought that that the Grihastha ashram, in a sense, was unnatural, because it seemed unnatural that two living beings were so intimately connected. That was my experience after 24 years. Right? It wasn't that that I, in any way, don't wish others all the best in their attempt to see how close they can get, or how they can live in the Grihastha ashram. I'm all for the Grihastha ashram, and on this day, especially, I want to say something to increase the auspiciousness of the event, right? Because really, it is auspicious when one marries on the basis of religious principles, and that is very rare, and it is highly glorified in Bhagavatam, and certainly it is an heroic feat to actually marry on the basis of religious principles. So yesterday I may not have come across as being balanced. I wasn't attempting to be balanced. I was rather feeling highly unbalanced after flying all the way from South Africa under rough conditions. And just disclosed some personal perspectives. I mean, but some people missed the context, I think. They heard the statements, but they didn't see the context. So I thought, let me take the chance and put it in context. Carrying on, Narada Muni, when he was cursed by Daksha, the whole thing rested on a misunderstanding. Because Narada is a total well-wisher of all living beings. He was a well-wisher of Daksha. He was a well-wisher of Daksha's son. But Daksha, somehow or other, unfortunately, couldn't see it at that time. And that was a misfortune. Because really, such preachers as Narada and those who are following in the footsteps of Narada are not just preachers of philosophy. They are not just merely preachers who are establishing the truth based on the scripture and cutting through Maya, although the word sadhu sometimes is translated as one who cuts. But it must be understood that although there may be some cutting here and there, that underneath it all is love. There is love. That is to be understood, that such sages are full of love and full of compassion, and therefore even their apparently cutting remarks at times, or actions at times, are also a manifestation of their love. And in that way, it must be seen as positive and in a positive light. We, of course, are not on that level of Narada. When we preach, the strength of our preaching is only by faithfully repeating. Just like Hari Suri Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's personal servant, at one point mentioned that he wanted to go out preaching. And Prabhupada said, "Preach? What will you preach? What will you preach?" He said, "I am preaching," Prabhupada said. "I am preaching. What can you preach?" But if you faithfully repeat whatever you have heard, then you can preach. So we are faithfully repeating, trying to, as faithfully as we can, with poor memories, poor intelligence, and lots of false ego, and so on. We're trying to represent Narada. And so somehow or other, because the message in itself is so potent that even if it is presented with some mistakes, still the force of the purity of the message is so potent that it will still act. And in that way, even conditioned souls like ourselves can try to preach. That is truly the greatest benediction. The greatest benediction for the universe and also for the individual who takes up that mission, because all get purified. And as it says, as the Ganges is flowing, it enters into the universe, flowing over the heavenly planets, the middle planetary systems, and even reaches the lower planetary systems. It said in the same way, in the heavenly planets, or in the upper regions of the universe, that the Ganges is received with great glorification. And all the devatas are fully aware of the glories of the Ganges and constantly taking bath within the Ganges for purification. On the middle planetary systems, planet Earth, when the Ganges is flowing, it is stated that the Ganges is often neglected. Those who live on the bank of the Ganges take their bath at the pump, it is said. I have experience in Mayapur when I lived there. Rarely went to the Ganges. And then it says, finally, on the lower planetary systems, it's not even noticed that the Ganges is there, but still the mercy is there. So there are also different degrees. It is said that the preacher himself is getting most purified, just like compared to the position of the topmost planet. The inquirer is compared to the one who is on this planet and who is actually going for a dip in the Ganga, on the heavenly planets, constantly bathing. And then, finally, the audience that is sort of sleeping through a discourse is also being purified, and they are compared to the residents of the lower planetary systems who sort of are oblivious to the Ganges passing. So whatever may be, whoever is involved in some way or other, actively or passively, in preaching or hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord, is most fortunate, is purified, and his faith, his or her faith, will deepen at every word, and ultimately that will uncover the eternal nature of the soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sade Kabunai Shravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai. Alright, that was my talk today, because the schedule is such that we have a little bit of a short presentation, but there are a few minutes left for a response.
The passive listener is getting more purification than the passive listener. But the passive listener is is also being purified, but at a certain point the passive listener, by purification, becomes an active listener. And that's means of purification, not that. My question is it possible for a passive listener to always stay a passive listener, and then be completely purified, or does he actually have to come to action?
Well, on the eternal platform, there are five rasas, and one of them is santa, santa rasa. So santa rasa is really the passive platform. So there is an eternal position of being in the passive position, and it's possible to attain that. But it's not desired. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not desiring santa rasa. They don't consider santa rasa of a very exalted nature. They consider it very almost close to impersonalism. The ras is really there's very little ras. The ras is really experienced in service. Therefore, we are going for active service. So we're trying to activate people. My lectures then are also aimed at that purpose, at that end, to sort of activate my audience. And therefore, I sometimes say outrageous things. like yesterday, when I said that I thought that marriage was biologically unnatural. Which I really think, you know, I can't help. I can't help it. No, it's not... It's not an attack or something at all, but what to do? It's what I think. Have to be honest. Yes. Wasn't it good to go into the body of Lord Vishnu? What is he doing there? He was just temporarily. He didn't notice it, you know. You have to understand, from our perspective, all that time, what was Narada doing there? You know, just sort of like waiting to reemerge. No, Narada didn't even notice that. That was all by an arrangement of the Lord. And just from our perspective, it looks like a very long period of time. For Narada, it wasn't even a moment. Simply, it was the arrangement of the Lord. Narada is an extraordinary personality, a quite amazing personality. Imagine the level of compassion that Narada is experiencing, that he can just do this service. Instead of staying in the spiritual world, I mean, be going around the material world in a spiritual body. That's quite amazing. We can only understand. One thought on compassion from my side is that compassion, one can only have compassion if one experiences something better. If you don't have something better, you cannot be compassionate. You can act a Shakespearean type of compassion, and very dramatic, but that's not compassion. Compassion is really when you have something better. So Narada must really be absorbed in a wonderful ecstatic experience that he can display so much compassion. So Narada is not missing out on anything, that's for sure. Okay, they're very lost, otherwise I get in trouble. Yeah. If Krishna would again appear, is that what you said? Yeah. It's not harmful for the devotee, but Krishna Krishna turns the heart of the devotee. So Krishna had a desire to bring Narada to a higher level. So he didn't make himself so cheap. He gave him an incentive at an early state of life to really dedicate himself. And then he waited till Narada had evolved further at the end of the life. And then he gave him that ultimate position. Of course, each personality is going a personal path. And you cannot say that Krishna will deal with every devotee in the same way as he deals with Narada. That was his particular way of dealing with Narada. But the principle is there that Krishna is giving encouragement to a devotee and then withdraws, then makes himself again perceivable, withdraws, perceivable with the idea to bring out stronger and stronger dedication. Even with the gopis, Krishna is present, sambhog, vipralamba, present, separation, simply to churn the hearts and draw out deeper attachment, more commitment, more dedication. So that is basically Krishna's relationship with any living being, to eternally pull out more and more love out of the heart of the devotee. So we see that with Narada also. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.